In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between sin and the curse. Sin is breaking the law of God. Sin is murder. Sin is adultery. Sin is theft. In thought, word, and deed, these things are contrary to those Ten Commandments. This is sin, and the result of it is eternal death and hell. The curse is what comes because of sin. That now the whole world is subjected to a life of futility. And so cheetahs chase gazelle, and lions eat zebras. That is not natural. It is a result of the curse. And man is weak and deaf and mute and lame and grows old and slows down, a result of the curse, because man is sinful. The Jews had once asked Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents? Neither. The curse comes because we live in a fallen world. It comes from sin, but we cannot equate one particular sinful act with the reason why we need to wear glasses, or why we got cancer, or why the world is the way it is. So creation groans, and man labors. And Christ entered into this world to restore the world. It's a triumphal procession that no sinner or devil can stop. Sent by God to carry out the very work of God, the Son became man to drive out disease and devils and the curse itself. Wherever he went, they fled. Wherever he went, he won. The ending was never in doubt. Conquest and victory and honor and praise and glory are his forever and ever. Restoration, holiness, perfection is ours forever. It fills our hearts with joyful eagerness to see those things that Christ has won for us. In the midst of this triumphal procession, Jesus sighed. He is called a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He sighs not from frustration or weariness, but he sighs as a wounded man sighs, or as a woman in labor sighs, so does our Lord. It's an involuntary noise escaping from the depths of his soul, desiring release not for himself, but for his beloved creation. In this man's two ears, Jesus sees the whole of man subjected to the devil and the curse. In this man's bound tongue, he contemplates the whole of mankind suffering. This is not what he created man to be when he molded Adam from the dust of the ground and gently pulled from his side a beautiful bride. He is no emotionless superhero simply powering through life, unaffected by what he has to endure. He has been made like us in every way, so he has the same emotions that we have. It pained his heart to see this deaf mute. He knows the ending, and yet still he lifts up his eyes toward heaven and groans. Man can't understand the depths of Jesus' grief as he lived on this earth, because man cannot fully contemplate the depths of his own fall. It's more than we're missing a little something. We have little idea of all that we are missing out on, how far we have fallen and how much we struggle. We are barely a shell of our former selves. It pains Christ to see you subjected to the devil's lies. It pains him to see you sad and lonely and having a bad day and feeling empty inside. Each death brings a tear to his eye. Each new diagnosis, each growing old and slowing down, afflicts his heart. Your glasses may be stylish, but they're a sign of the curse. As well as your canes and the whole medical field and your hearing aids, this is not what he created you to be. This is not the life that he desired for you when he delicately knit you together in your mother's womb. How far we have fallen, how much we endure as a woman in labor. And so rightly we cry out, Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. We need help. Our lives are hard. Our bodies ache. Our minds betray us. Our hearts are heavy. Day-to-day life is not easy. And on top of that, we have many limitations and shortcomings. Lord, have mercy. We sigh. And yet in that little prayer, we do not realize the depths into which it goes. So the Spirit helps us in our groans. We do not fully contemplate all we need help with, all we need God's mercy for. And so Christ takes one man by himself, sticks his fingers in one man's ears, spits and touches one man's tongue, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And one man heard and one man spoke. A little joy in the midst of this fallen world, a little reprieve from the curse. He has done all things well, they rightly exclaim, because for this he came, to restore fallen man. But what about the other mutes and the other deaf men? What about the others who are blind and lame and leprous and disease-ridden? What about those who continue to grow old and slow down? What about them? What about us? He cannot simply travel the world touching to heal man's brokenness. He would fix us from one problem only to have two others pop up. And so he went to the very root of the problem. He has done far more than you have asked for or could even imagine. He looked up to heaven as the hammer rang out, driving nails into his holy hands. And from the depths of his soul, he longed for man's release. Darkness filled the day. The Son of Man was forsaken by his heavenly Father. One life for all, one divine blood shed for all. One death in the place of all. No one was forgotten. No one was left out. No sin was too great or too small. He knew what we were missing out on. And he knew the only solution was his death as payment for all sin. With sin removed, the curse also must be removed. With sin paid for, the curse has no foundation and must go away. So this is the great miracle of God, death and resurrection. This is the great medicine of immortality, the body and blood of Christ. This is the remedy that heals your cuts and your scrapes, fixes your eyes, restores you to health and happiness and joy. This is the remedy that removes your cancer and your organ failures. This is what raises the dead, his death and resurrection. It does everything. It removes everything and it gives everything, for by it Christ has made all things new. And so he told the crowds, "Don't tell anyone what I have done." Jesus does not live by the motto, any publicity is good publicity. He doesn't want them to speak of this miracle lest they fail to recognize the greater healing he will accomplish by his cross. They didn't listen because they did not understand that forgiveness of sins is far greater than any earthly miracle. So after Jesus rose from the dead, he performs miracles, but he never healed anyone. because he had already provided full and perfect healing by his cross. The liturgy teaches us this. Three times you pray, Lord, have mercy on us, Christ, have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us. And the answer immediately follows, glory be to God on high and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It's Christmas. God answers your plea for mercy by sending his beloved Son into this world to take away the sins of the world. Treasure this forgiveness. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Not a cursed, burdened, troubled life, but an image of God life. The life he intended when he molded Adam together and knit you together in your mother's womb. A life free from the curse, a perfect and holy life where you soar like eagles and run without being faint. Where pain and sadness, glasses and hearing aids, cancer and disease are nothing but a distant memory. The life that God always meant you to have. And then there's salvation. Yes, saved from sin, death, and the devil. Thanks be to God, but also saved from cancer and organ failure and brokenness and sadness and tears. Our Savior is not a weak Savior who simply deals with one problem, but he is the Savior of all, who has removed every evil, no matter how great the demon may be or how insignificant the curse may seem. He raises us up higher than what we fell. And so you have joined this triumphal procession following Christ, a victorious, glorious procession of conquest and victory and glory and honor, which are Christ's, restoration, peace, holiness, and joy, which are yours. The ending is never in doubt. You know where you are going and what Christ has won for you because you know what he has done for you. And yet still creation groans. And still you sigh, worn out by the day, the week, the month, the year, perhaps just by life itself. You're healed, yet still broken. You're restored, but still linger. You're with God forever, yet you do not see him. He asks that you live by faith. He asks that you believe that his cross and resurrection is the answer to your pain and your troubles and your sadness and your hurt. He asks that you believe that his forgiveness is the answer to your cancer and your cries for mercy. He asks that you live by faith, not by sight. And so you don't get the new heavens now, but you will later. And you don't get the new earth now, but you will later. And you don't get the health and the strength and the hearing and the eyesight now, but you will later. And you don't get the resurrection of your loved one now, but you will later. He has done all things well. Wait with patience. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows your weaknesses and sees your hardships. As much as it pains you, it still pains him. Your prayers are heard. Trust in him. You know the ending. You know the triumphal procession. So pray to him. Eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of your sins, for your restoration has already begun. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.